Welcome to today's afternoon concert. I'm your host, Lori Neufeld. And here in the studios, we have a Shakespearean afternoon concert going on, and it's Andrew Castle clearing his throat to sound just absolutely marvelous, and Rebecca George. Thank you for joining us for today's afternoon concert, and we're going to be focusing on the Shakespeare Uncovered Season 2 opener and the Gwich'in Midsummer Night's Dream from coming up already this winter.
Yes.
That's true.
And first of all, Shakespeare Uncovered is on PBS, on KUAC, channel 9.1, and we have the season opener early February on Thursday nights, February 5th. It opens with A Midsummer Night's Dream, uncovering that.
And looks like they're doing two a night, so you get both that and then the next episode, that King Lear with Christopher Plummer that second night. So that's going to be
Pretty appointment viewing. It is. Much like Downton Abbey.
Much like that. Or Doctor Who or
yes.
Call the Midwife.
Speaking of Downton Abbey, the Hugh Bonneville, the actor that plays Lord Grantham, is hosting Midsummer Night's Dream, the season opener of Shakespeare Uncovered Season 2.
He's sort of the patriarchy of the family. Rebecca, I know that you're not really familiar with Downton Abbey.
We cannot tell all of our listeners that Rebecca doesn't yet watch Downton. She's not hooked yet.
I'll try and catch up.
Okay.
She's too busy.
I'm very busy.
She's got a theater company to run.
Rebecca and Andrew, thanks so much for joining us here to talk about all things Shakespeare. And we're going to be sharing some music from Shakespeare plays and operas and music inspired by Shakespeare, too. So it won't all be us talking about Shakespeare. It'll be some music, too. And how appropriate for afternoon concert. Let's start off with talking about the event that we're partnering on. It's on January 31st at Davis Concert Hall. Everybody is invited. January 31st is Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. We are doing an early screening of Shakespeare Uncovered, The Midsummer Night's Dream that we just mentioned, and also a panel discussion about The Midsummer Night's Dream that Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater is putting on, Rebecca.
Yeah, it's going to be a great event. It's free and open to the public, so please, everyone come out. You'll get a sneak peek preview of the episode, the Midsummer Night's Dream Shakespeare Uncovered episode, which will be airing later on KUAC. But you get to see it before everyone else if you come to this event, which is going to be really cool. And then afterwards, we have cast members and the director from our production, which we're mounting this spring, of A Midsummer Night's Dream. And this is a really special production. It's part of Shakespeare in American Communities, which is a NEA initiative, which we got a grant for. And we tour schools, and we'll have some public performances here in Fairbanks. What's really special about this is this production is inspired by the success we had with our 2013 Lear Hecwai, which was also a school tour where we toured a version of King Lear, but part of the script, almost half, was translated into Gwich'in by Alan Hayton, who's a local actor, amazing actor, and Gwich'in speaker and translator.
And you've already done this a couple years ago with parts of King Lear.
Yes. So yeah. Based on the success of that, it was just an amazing project, incorporating language revitalization with Shakespeare, with arts education for the schools. It's just an amazing project, and so we decided let's keep going with it and let's do a fun play this time because Lear is really
heavy.
Yeah, it was a lot to take on, so now we're going to have a little fun with it. And we're doing Midsummers, and Alan is playing Oberon, and many of Oberon's lines and speeches are translated into Gwich'in. Our Puck is going to be speaking Gwich'in. We have several Alaska Native actors in the cast, some speaking Gwich'in, some not. And we have longtime company members joining us along the way to all these schools. So we're really excited about it. And then this public event is what we're really thrilled about, our partnership with KUAC. So we get to be part of the screening and then, give a little hometown Midsummer's exploration. So
I think it also adds to the uncovered nature of the show, because the show is a lot about not just the play itself, but what the play is about and exploring it and bringing this version that you guys are working on that splits between the town and the woods and the language between each. Really, I think it's part that if the Shakespeare Uncovered people had the opportunity to travel forward in time, they would have included in the show because it does help explore the text.
Yeah, and it's also uncovering FST and how we work. We're early in the process, although there's been a lot of translations done. We're just starting rehearsals, so anyone who comes to the event, you're going to get a lot more information about our production and our company, but you'll also get a sneak peek into our process, which is really exciting.
And our event that we're partnering together for is January 31st. That's the last Saturday of this month, and it starts at 4 o'clock at the UIF Davis Concert Hall. And we're partnering because we received this grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, and what a great opportunity. It's both for this Shakespeare Uncovered early screening events and for part of the Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater, too. And so it's a really neat way to involve the community.
Yes, and we're so thrilled to be partners. You know, I think we're one of 10 radio station theater partners that received this.
In the nation.
Yeah, in the nationwide. And I'm just thrilled that they require the radio or the public stations to have a theater partner. And so it really focuses on your local theater artists and your local organizations. And we really appreciate that support. And we're just thrilled to be partners.
So cool. And we'll be getting more of the nuts and bolts of the Midsummer Night's Dream production Wednesday night here at KUAC during Alaska Live at 10 o'clock. Some of the folks from your production will be coming in, including Alan, who did the translation.
Yes.
And he'll be sharing some of those translations.
Yes, you'll get to hear Gwich'in spoken or sung and some other songs from company members. And yeah, more information about the production. The director, Tom Robinault, will be in also. So that should be really fun. Everyone should tune into that too, Alaska Live.
And you can go to KUAC.org and check out all of our events and put them on your calendar. Just like this program right now, we've got more programs that are involved with this grant and this partnership. And so it's pretty exciting. I'm so glad we're starting off this way too with some Shakespearean music. What, Andrew?
Yes.
Can you introduce this next piece? It's the Wedding March. And after we hear it, I think I'll have you give a little background on that. But it's from
the production. Well, Felix Mendelssohn was in the late 19th century. He wrote some incidental music for a production of Midsummer Night's Dream. He just wrote some music, you know, for some scenes and stuff like this. And then
for a local production that was being done.
Just a normal, like you would have to approach some artist and come in and write some music. But then one of the royal family decided that they liked the wedding march that they used. And so they used it. She used it in her wedding. And, of course, now it's become sort of the traditional one to hear.
Well, let's hear it.
But why not?
Thank you.
Well,
I always cry at weddings.
You may recognize that as the wedding march, but that is incidental music from a performance of A Midsummer Night's Dream. Mm-hmm. Andrew Castle, you were telling us about, before we heard that, that he, Mendelssohn was approached, you know, back in his day.
Yep. Just to write some music. He wrote all music for the whole show. I mean, because the Midsummer is all about magic and fairies and love and combat between lovers. So it's, you know, it's ripe with music and song. And so he just wrote some pieces that go on in there. And, you know, you just never know what was going to appeal to someone. So someone saw the show. It was first used by just a nobody. Not that anybody's a nobody, if you ask the doctor. But it was not until the royal family started using it. And then, of course, that really caught on. And it's just become very, very traditional.
And
because it's really bold.
It is. And when do you get to hear the whole wedding march, not just time enough for the bride to walk down the aisle, but we heard the whole five-minute thing.
It's much more than you need.
For a wedding.
For a wedding.
Right.
Not for a concert.
Or as Rebecca was making, the bride would just walk really slowly down.
Yes. That's not very triumphant.
No, but majestic.
Yes.
Majestic. But I mean, it's just, you know, it's just an example of you never know. I mean, how much I like to say that if you listen closely every day as you're going through your life every day, you will more than likely hear a Shakespeare reference every single day of your life. As you move through the day and just sort of pay attention and be open to it, little references on TV or in radio ads
or TV ads or music.
I like to encourage people to do that. Like, just keep your mind open and you hear a Shakespeare reference every day in your life.
And they are still basing movies on Shakespeare plays, right?
Yeah. In fact, the Shakespeare classic Cymbeline, which I know the audience just knows and adores by heart. Not really, because obscure play.
Uh-huh.
But that's a big movie. There's a movie coming out pretty soon that's going to be a modern, like, urban adaptation of Cymbeline with Ed Harris in it. So then I think that's one of the things that –
And are they going to call it Cymbeline?
Oh, it's called Cymbeline.
Okay,
and
yeah,
it's in the Shakespeare language and all that stuff. And I think that's one of the good things about Shakespeare Uncovered and the work that the Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater does as well is it shows demonstrably how these works of art live today. And it's incredible that hundreds of years on there's still – things to discover, still references to make, still explorations to be had with these old, old words and texts.
Truly timeless.
Yes.
Yeah.
So far.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, other people have said that our language, the English language, has sort of stayed how it is for so long, although with little changes, so that we can continue to understand Shakespeare. And I agree with that. You know, we don't want to lose that brilliant mind.
That's right. Shakespeare Uncovered Season 2 premieres on KUAC television February 5th with A Midsummer Night's Dream with Hugh Bonneville. And it's followed by the King Lear one with Christopher Plummer. And that happens Thursday nights at 9:00 during the month of February. So we're really looking forward to that. You can get a sneak preview of that very A Midsummer Night's Dream premiere on January 31st with the KUAC and Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater event. It's at Davis Concert Hall at 4:00 on the last Saturday of January, January 31st.
That's going to be a great event because watching the episode of the show will give the people that are there, plus it's on the big screen, but, you know, a lot of things to think about when they go and then they see some live performances. And you know, no matter how – the Royal Shakespeare Theater, of course, does a great job of videotaping plays. But no matter what, seeing theater in two dimensions, you just lose something. So coming to see the episode of Shakespeare Uncovered and then seeing live actors performing it and talking about it, it will be a really amazing experience for the people who are able to come.
And a great, primer for, you know, the full-fledged production. We're Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater's doing public performances of our version of A Midsummer Night's Dream in March. So you will be all ready to go.
Is the wedding march going to be part of it? Mendelssohn's wedding march?
Not in that context or version.
Not in the Gwich'in version?
We might hum it.
Well, I guess, you know, if the Mendelssohn Appreciation Society comes up with a big enough grant.
Oh, yes,
that perhaps it will be featured loud and proud.
Another great thing about this partnering, so you can watch all of these Shakespeare Uncovered episodes on KUAC, and then the series ends on February 13th, I believe.
19th.
Okay.
Okay.
So it dovetails with our Bardathon. Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater does Bardathon. This will be our 16th year. And it's an opportunity for anyone in the community to come out and read the plays.
You're doing it 24 hours a day.
Yeah, we do it 24 hours a day for 6-7 days, however long it takes. I can't, you know.
This. 7 days this year.
I get lost in it. But you can watch the series and, you know, brush up on these episodes. There's The Midsummer Night's Dream, King Lear, Taming of the Shrew, Othello, Antony, Cleopatra, and Romeo and Juliet are all of the Shakespeare Uncovered plays that they're covering. And then you can come to Bardathon with all of your new knowledge and read the play.
It'll already have made it come alive for you and then read the play. Will Cymbeline be part of Bardathon?
Yes, every single, all 38 canon Shakespeare plays are part of the Bardathon, including his non-dramatic poetry and the sonnets as well.
And we,
oh, 34. I'm sorry. I said 38. That was.
We are planning on dropping 34. In on Bardathon every once in a while during afternoon concert that week. So February 16th through the 20th, those are the weekdays of Bardathon. We're planning on doing some live drop-ins. So we'll be hearing those readings going on. And
coincidentally enough, those readings that you'll be dropping in on are the Shakespeare Uncovered plays.
Oh, there
so
sounds like
you
some
come
planning
there.
There.
Yes. Yeah. What amazing. So, yes, the five of the shows, not Romeo and Juliet. That one is sort of starting off the Bardathon because it's Valentine's Day. But the readings that you will be hearing during the show are Antony and Cleopatra, Othello, Midsummer, and whatever
King
the
Lear.
Other one, King Lear.
Mm-hmm.
And there's what I have a list here.
I
Taming
know
of the
that
Shrew.
We went down to Bardathon one night. It was really cold out. It was like 30 or 40 below out. And it was a play. It was starting at midnight or 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't quite remember if it was that late, but it was definitely midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the funnest things we did that winter. We went and we read with... I think, Andrew, you were moderating, facilitating.
Yes, that's true.
Bruce Rogers was there, who will be in to talk about Macbeth later on in these events. And it was just such a fun time to be there when it was the dark of winter out.
Midnight readings at Bardathon are a blast.
Yeah.
They are a blast.
Yeah. So it's something to look forward to. I'm glad you have it back in the wintertime, too, because I don't know. You know, sometimes we've got to look forward to these events that we can take part in.
Yes.
Agreed. No, this will be my – I've participated in all of the Bardathons. So I'm looking forward to being able to do that again.
And even Willis Fireball called in from Little Diomede and read some parts because that's something else you can do during Bardathon is call in and read a part every
this
once
year,
in a while.
This year there's a modification for that. We
that's
will be
okay.
streaming it. You
yes.
can certainly tune in and hear it. But just the logistics-wise of the space, unfortunately, the last meetings that we've had about it, the call-in part is – it seems that that is not going to really come together. But that's okay.
That's okay.
And it might.
Unless you've heard differently. I mean, I know that we were talking about it.
And that's do we know the venue?
Yes. It's going to be at the Fairbanks Community Museum.
All right.
Which in their new home, which is our old home, the Empress.
Yeah. Back at the Empress.
Yeah. So they have taken over that space and have graciously allowed us to return for the Bardathon.
Wonderful. Upstairs.
They hosted last year.
They hosted us last year
in upstairs
their old space.
From the Co-op Plaza.
Yes.
Okay.
Downtown.
Downtown. Wonderful. We've been talking about the Shakespeare Uncovered series, and we can play some audio of the video, the one that Midsummer Night's Dream with Hugh Bonneville. And so should we listen to about 2 minutes of that?
Right. And I think that they have him host it because, from what I understand, it was his first Shakespeare play was he was in the Midsummer. It was mine, too, but you're not talking about me. I know
too.
Hugh Bonneville. What have you got to say, Hugh?
Yeah, so this is from the season 2 Shakespeare Uncovered, Hugh Bonneville on Shakespeare's Poetic Forms.
Fie, you counterfeit, you puppet, you puppet.
It's quite a trick to write a scene that will make you laugh and break your heart.
But what I find particularly interesting is how Shakespeare uses poetic form and language to instruct the actor, even some 400 years after he wrote the lines, in how to play the scene. First of all, the scene is written in verse. The dialogue's in the form of poetry rather than prose.
And it's not just blank verse. It's all in rhyming couplets.
Bent, merriment, courtesy, injury, do, to, show, so.
I see you all are bent to set against me for your merriment. If you were civil and knew courtesy, you would not do me thus much injury. Can you not hate me? As I know you do, but you must join in souls to mock me too.
But when Helena thinks she's being betrayed by her best friend as well, the rhyming suddenly stops. It's still verse, but blank verse. No rhymes. Contrived, derision, shared, spent, time, forgot.
Have you with these contrived to bench me with this foul derision? Is all the counsel that we two have shared, the sisters' vows, the hours that we have spent, when we have chid the hasty-footed time for parting us, oh, is all forgot?
It's as if the row has now become so personal and so intense and desperate that any sense of formality, of structure, like rhyming, goes out of the window. The gloves are off.
No! I pray you, though you mock me, gentlemen, let her not hurt me.
Can't
you hurt me and do not be so bitter with me?
I think this scene really reveals Shakespeare as director. His audience would have noticed the difference in rhythm and style, albeit unconsciously, and I think modern audiences do too. Because it's as if by using these subtle shifts in form and language, Shakespeare is writing his own background music.
Let me come!
Oh, get you gone, you dwarf!
That is a really nice preview to what we can see as a preview to season two, Shakespeare Uncovered. And Rebecca George, were you kind of playing those lines along in your head also? Because those lines are part of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes.
that premieres on the Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater stage. Well, you're touring it through schools.
Yes. I just want to comment on airing that clip. It's so great to have an afternoon concert because Shakespeare's language really is like music. And to hear that, you know, getting played as a concert piece this afternoon is perfect.
And Hugh Bonneville even spoke of it as Shakespeare used it as the soundtrack and the background music.
Yes. The way that he writes is very lyrical and, you know, very much like a piece of music. And that is so much fun for an actor to work with and play with. And we have some great actors in this cast. We have some actors that are new to Shakespeare and just learning this. Part of our mission is education, and that includes educating actors. So we have some great young Alaska Native actors joining us doing Shakespeare for the first time, and they are just really catching on quickly and adapting and picking up the musicality of the language. So that's really fun to watch.
I think it's going to be incredible to see with The Midsummer that you are producing how, because in the story of Midsummer, it really is a difference between city life and forest life and going into the woods and getting in touch with nature and what all that is. And having that part of it be the Alaska Native influence part will really well define those two worlds and how those two worlds work together and conflict with each other at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so having Alan as Oberon and doubling as the Duke of Athens as well gives him a great acting thing, but also lets the audience really see how both similar and dissimilar Alaska Native culture and non-Native culture is. So I think I'm really excited to see the show.
Yeah, the layers to this project are just innumerable.
Yeah, we could go on and on and on.
So what if I am not a kid in the school system and I still want to see Midsummer Night's Dream?
We are going to do public performances here in Fairbanks, and you can also get a sneak peek at our public event that we're doing with KUAC on the 30th.
31st. Saturday is the 31st at 4 o'clock at Davis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come check out a few scenes there, and that's free for anyone.
And when is your public performance going on?
Our public performances will be in March at Pioneer Park, March 5th through the 8th. And you can check our website for more information and details about the times for that.
And that's fstalaska.org.
Yes.
Great. And this partnership is one of the cool things that happens when we seek out a grant and get a grant. The cool thing about getting the grant is that it makes it possible to do these events. And the grant was from National Endowment for the Humanities through PBS's Shakespeare Uncovered. And so it's just so wonderful to have them to receive that.
Yeah, that support for us is huge, you know, to get to be partners with you and have that national recognition and the support. Yeah. And this airtime and the, you know, the coverage for our events. You know, we've been in Fairbanks for 23 years doing what we do, and it's just nice to get a little more exposure and kind of remind people, hey, we're still here doing some really unique creative projects. Come check us out if you haven't seen us for a while. And to our loyal supporters, thank you for always being there, and, you know, come see what we're working on now.
I remember when you were doing The Tempest, we had an Alaska Live going on surrounding that because The Good Days, a local band at the time, was the house band for your production.
That was awesome.
The director for this Midsummer's project, Tom Robinault, was the director for that show, The Tempest. Mm-hmm. And FST always tries to include as many local artists as we can, and usually it includes musicians or a band of some sort, and Tom's really good at that, including those in his shows.
And just like Mendelssohn, they compose music for the local production.
Yes. Yep. So that's 200 years from now, someone might be walking down the aisle to The Good Days.
That's right.
Wow. I'm sure someone already has.
From The Tempest.
From The Tempest. The Tempest Wedding March, that's the famous scene of The Tempest, the big wedding.
Carry my logs for me.
Sorry.
I do have the finale queued up from Mendelssohn, from A Midsummer Night's Dream, and it includes some of the Shakespeare's lyrics in it. So should we listen to that?
Great, yes. Okay.
No. I'm just kidding.
Andrew, you're ruled out. You've been voted off the island.
Thank you.
Thank you.
very dreamlike sequence there, mm-hmm. talking about the things in the forest, the spiders and the snakes, and looking out from the warm house that has a fire going in it. Like, Andrew, you were talking about A Midsummer Night's Dream, where it really compares and contrasts the city life with life more...
The city mores and how you sort of have the rule of law in the city and then the rule of nature in the forest and how you have to have... And a big part of the play also is the conflict of nature. You need to have sort of, you know, calm nature and calm humanity, and together you have one whole happy world. And that's sort of – the play puts that all together at the end with the fairies, after they've messed with all the humans, sort of put everything right, and then they celebrate and make sure that the humans will have – will procreate to forward the human race. They make sure – the fairies say that at the end they're going to go make sure that happens. So
you're listening to a Shakespearean afternoon concert here on KUAC HD and FM and streaming on KUAC.org. And I'm your host, Lori Neufeld. Joining me here at the studios of KUAC, Rebecca George from Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater and Andrew Castle, also from Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater. And this grant that came to KUAC and Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater that we're partnering with came from WNET and the National Endowment for the Arts. And it's National Endowment for the Humanities. You were talking about your National Endowment for the Arts grant,
yes.
And so it's, grants are great, if we can say that. And
well, yeah, if I can just, it's great to, because the Shakespeare Theater has been working for decades here, and so it's really nice that organizations that are looking at the national level say, hey, what's going on out there? What's happening out there? And then that the FST can put forward and say, hey, this is what we're doing. And their demonstrable support is so great and so important. Because you can't just make a theater company run by doing great shows and selling tickets. Unfortunately, it just in this, shows cost money.
Yeah.
And so it's really nice when national organizations say, hey, you people in Fairbanks, Alaska are doing a great job. So really, really appreciate it. It says a lot to me for something that I really love.
WNET, they're sending Chris from WNET up here to take part in our event, the January 31st Shakespeare Uncovered Season 2 preview and the preview of the Midsummer Night's Dream, some of the Gwich'in translation stuff that's happening last Saturday of January at 4 o'clock at Davis. And they're sending one of their folks up for that, and that's just – that's another level of this is how important it is.
I'm sure that person could have chosen to travel to anywhere, to any of the station theaters that are combining. But that's great. That's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. I hope he likes 40 Below.
Oh, jeez.
Because we are just getting winter now.
We're super excited that they're sending someone up, and he's got a great... bio. We're really thrilled to meet him. So
part of Frontier House, right? Andrew,
You mentioned that to me I love that. I love reality shows. I will for several years try to find a good one now. It's so difficult.
PBS puts together some good ones.
That was really exciting to see. Let's take these people and throw them out. And, it's almost an Alaskan lifestyle, no running water, far away from everything, and now live your life. So it's really exciting. And what a great it's so nice that creative mind is still working and helping things happen and championing a passion of mine, which is Shakespeare. So thank you, sir. Keep up the good work.
And a quick rundown of our events that we're having in cooperation with Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater and the Shakespeare Uncovered. This today, our Shakespearean afternoon concert, and you'll be able to find this posted on our website at kuac.org. Wednesday night, we have an Alaska Live where you can get a taste of what that is going to be like of the Midsummer Night's Dream with the Gwich'in translation and some of the music from that. Right, Rebecca?
Yes. There'll be some songs and some songs just inspired by our company.
That's wonderful. It's Wednesday night at 10 o'clock.
The theater company or just hanging out with the people in
both.
Both. I've heard some of those songs.
Yeah. We have been fortunate to have a lot of our guest artists are extremely talented musically as well as being gifted actors. And they write their own songs. And so that'll be fun. One or two songs
that's also
have been inspired by our work. So they'll sing that, and you'll get to hear the Gwich'in songs from the show. And, yeah, that'll be a fun evening.
Great. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say that Shakespeare includes so much music in his shows because people who would go to see those plays, that's like the big entertainment. Like it would last for 3 hours. You get music, you get food, you get theater, maybe some blood, maybe some romance.
Right.
You know, so he really packs it. It's got everything. Every play has a little bit of everything. So it's nice to be able to explore that here on KUSC with you.
And again, music is very timeless. I mean, you know, that's part of adapting these plays is putting music that has a local feel to it.
Yeah, this is so great to give a local context to one of the shows, you know, with the Alaska Native influence. We're really bringing it home here. And I think Shakespeare lends himself to that so easily and readily. And it's just a really fun thing that we get to take advantage of, putting it in a different context because he is timeless and, you know, his stories can be shared in many ways, and we're putting our own spin on it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And Shakespeare Uncovered Season 2 starts in February, Thursday nights at 9 o'clock on KUAC television, starting off February 5th. That's a Thursday night at 9 with Hugh Bonneville hosting the Midsummer Night's Dream. And we heard just a preview of that earlier in this show. And then February 12th, it's The Taming of the Shrew with Morgan Freeman and Othello with David Harwood. And The Taming of the Shrew with Morgan Freeman, I got a sneak peek of that one.
Like, he's just talking about it. Is he performing the scenes from it as well?
So this Shakespeare Uncovered program really does a wonderful job of weaving in live performance, clips from the live performances of all kinds of famous live performances, and talking about Shakespeare historically and how people have adapted these plays. Mm-hmm. And in this case, The Taming of the Shrew, the one Morgan Freeman was in, was set in the Wild West. Yeah.
Was he a Petruchio? I'll just have to tune in to see.
Yes, he was.
Just tell me to tune in on February 12th to see. And that would be amazing to see that. Who was his? I'll find out.
Yes. You can see clips of these online, right? Mm-hmm. The previews.
You can.
Also, if you go to either KUAC or FSD's website, it's linked to the Shakespeare Uncovered website, which is an amazing site. I went there, and just there, when you click on their education page, it is full of so much fun information and clips from performances. You can see and hear performances of the different plays. It's just really an education in itself. And
how many schools are you touring in with a Midsummer Night's Dream?
We'll be touring to 11. We'll be providing performances for a minimum of 11 schools. A lot of times in the smaller communities, the smaller schools will come to the larger school, so it'll probably end up being more than that, but a minimum of 11, and we are going out to villages and off the road system and up to Barrow and all across the state.
Wow, you head all the way to Barrow.
We've gone far as far south as Kodiak and as this time as far north as Barrow. So we're covering a lot of ground. We're covering the whole state, and we're really thrilled to have the support of the NEA and the Shakespeare in American Communities grant to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Let's listen to one preview from, we were just talking about The Taming of the Shrew with Morgan Freeman. Let's play that off of, we do. Oh. Yes. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Next time on Shakespeare Uncovered, Shakespeare's take on the War of the Sexes.
Come and kiss me, Kate.
Morgan Freeman gets to the heart of The Taming of the Shrew.
The play itself sort of comes down to a leveling. There is no top dog in a marriage.
When you say
The Taming of the Shrew with Morgan Freeman on Shakespeare Uncovered.
The series just goes behind the context of what was, you know, what Shakespeare might have, the history of the play and, you know, how people have adapted these plots and themes to new settings and settings in history that weren't from, you know, that century. And so it's a...
The internet tells me that this was in 1990 when Morgan Freeman was Petruchio and his Katerina was Tracy Ullman.
Awesome.
Wow.
I will
be tuning in.
I know. I wanted to tell you, but I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll just let him find out.
That it's is really what a crazy pairing. Anyway, thank you, Lori. Thank you, Shakespeare Uncovered. Thank you, Morgan Freeman.
And one of the other ways that Shakespeare has been reworked is in operas. And we are so lucky that our airing of the Metropolitan Opera's Macbeth is right in February, right along with this timeline of events.
Yes.
Perfect.
Everything,
thank you, Metropolitan Opera.
Everything Shakespeare in February.
And so we are going to have that on Sunday as part of our Metropolitan Opera Sundays, starting at noon, February 8th. And some FST people are going to come in, including Bruce Rogers and some other folks.
Yes. So Bruce Rogers, our artistic director, will be here. And a little history from our company. FST was born out of a production of Macbeth that Bruce did in 1992, and then the 1993 Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater was born thanks to the success of that 92 production. So he has a lot to say about Macbeth. And our tour and education coordinator, Sarah Mitchell, will be here, and Gianna Drago, who is a vocal coach and famous Fairbanks singer and opera fan. Both her and Sarah saw the screening. They're doing those screenings at Regal Cinema of the Met performances, and they did Macbeth last year, and both of those two ladies have been raving about that, so they're really thrilled to be a part of that.
That's another thing. If you are in the Fairbanks community and don't know about this yet, you can virtually go to the Metropolitan Opera with these live and HD events, and you can sit at the theater and be very up close and personal.
Yeah, and I've gone to a couple, not the opera ones, but other theater performances. They're at the theater, and it's truly amazing to see the work. It's stuff that performances you wouldn't get to see otherwise.
Exactly, just like the Shakespeare Uncovered series. Yeah. We wouldn't get to see those performances without this series. And up here in Fairbanks, that is so important to us, especially in the dead of winter. To be able to be a part of these larger, internationally famous productions, to see them and hear them and get that exposure and that experience, that the Regal Cinema series does that, and the Shakespeare Uncovered series does that as well. And I just feel so fortunate that it's available to us.
Yeah. And as you're listening to the Met Opera on Sundays during the season, you get all these interviews and backstage peeks, and you actually get those visually. You get the scene changes and all that with going to the theater. And so it's almost like they're on the stage, but not quite as good as going to a local production that is actually on the stage live humans.
It's beautiful to see the stuff. Yeah. It's just not. It doesn't feel. I mean, it just doesn't feel the same. And I mean, there's no other way to say it. It's amazing. Technology is great to be able to share that and really spread it. But seeing a live performance is really what it's all about.
Speaking of live performance, what is the summer Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater performance?
This summer, the Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater is producing The Two Gentlemen of Verona, which I was lucky enough to be asked to direct. So I'm really excited to bring that play to the Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater stage and have them part of when they were talking, the company was talking to me about what show I might be interested in doing. I was really looking for a way to continue the company's idea of producing all of the plays in the summertime. So this one hasn't been done yet. And so
The Two Gentlemen of Lebowski was done a reading of.
It certainly was.
Two Gentlemen of Verona, the musical, was done.
And Two Gentlemen of Verona, the musical, was done.
But we have never done the
straight.
Let's
look at that source material.
Yes, the original.
Let's go straight to. What was a little disheartening, I will say, about approaching, as I've done research over the past months to work on the show, almost every text I open was like, this is one of Shakespeare's least popular plays.
Prove them wrong, Fairbanks. Prove them wrong.
Yes,
come out.
Like,
and see
how
it.
Can I? Because there's lots of things that happen in the script that are, for modern audiences, are unusual. The end, particularly, is a very troublesome ending for modern audiences when I'm not going to give spoilers away. I mean, it's a 500-year-old story.
Yeah.
So there's two friends who are very close friends. However, one of the friends betrays his quote-unquote friend and attempts to rape his girlfriend. And so that doesn't work out, of course, in the story. But the two friends sort of the moment of I forgive you, I'm sorry that I had to sit by and watch you almost rape my girlfriend is a very difficult moment to stage for modern audiences. So
yeah.
I've got some good ideas about how to sort of tackle that in a way that will make it relative as the patriarchy weakens and at the same time stay true to the text.
And
but I'm not going to tell you what they are.
You know, the part of Taming of the Shrew also, the ending of that is pretty difficult also. And Shakespeare Uncovered unpacks that also with Morgan Freeman's help. And I, you know.
Right. Yeah. And that's I've been appearing in a couple productions of Taming of the Shrew. So it is a big like that last Katerina speech is like how what is she saying there? How is she, you know, how has her character changed from this very independent woman to now here at the end, she's saying how important it is to be in partnership with your husband. So, yeah,
right.
It'll be – I'm curious how Morgan and Tracy dealt with that.
There was some controlling features of the Taming of the Shrew in mm-hmm. that. And, you know, that could – that's a tough thing to tackle.
It's not called the you know, the – combining
no.
of the shrew. The shrew is tamed,
yes.
Which has a whole bunch of allusions in itself.
But I mean, there's...
And then there was the sequel, The Tamer Tamed, that came out a few years after Shakespeare's play. And so you can go and you can see what happens later on in their story if you're so inclined.
And Shakespeare was, I don't know, just amazing in writing themes and plots that can be adapted to modern day life, and that's what makes it still relevant in this day.
Well, I think that's what they are uncovering, so to speak, in yeah. the Shakespeare Uncovered series. And I remember when I watched the David Tennant Hamlet episode of Shakespeare Uncovered, and one of the first things that he says in that episode is these plays should not be relevant. They should not still be performed, but they are. And why are they? And I think that's a lot of what Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater does. And they take the things apart and like, how could we find them? You know, what can we find that's relevant in there? What can we present to modern audiences that they will enjoy going to see? And as scholars sort of dig in and still have find things to explore and talk about in the text is just really exciting. So it's really glad. I'm really glad that they came back for a second season of Shakespeare Uncovered because I just love Shakespeare.
Part of
covered or not.
Yeah. Antony and Cleopatra is one of them that they do, and we're going
to
listen.
That's an epic worldwide story that one is. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Give me my robe from Act 3 from the opera, Samuel Barber's opera. So,
and Shakespeare does lend itself really well to opera because of the passions.
So dramatic.
It is. It's really over the top. I mean, a lot of this stuff, no matter from the lovers of Midsummer Night's Dream and, you know, they're going back and forth with hating each other and loving each other. And
but it's not over the top. That is life. Ask any teenager. It's very – life can be very dramatic.
Okay. How about the over the top fairy combat when the whole world is in danger? How about that one?
Okay. You got
yeah,
okay.
Love, love, betrayal, death, murder.
Epic threat to the humanity.
It's
yes.
Always,
it's all in there.
Yes. And we're going to listen to from Antony and Cleopatra, Give Me My Robe.
Thank you.
excerpt from Act 3 of Antony and Cleopatra, the opera from the Metropolitan Opera's production, and just shows you how Shakespeare can come alive in opera to the passions that go along with that. You are tuned to KUAC 89.9 FM and KUAC HD Fairbanks. Welcome to the Shakespearean Afternoon Concert today. I'm your host, Lori Neufeld, and from Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater, we have Rebecca George and Andrew Castle here. And during this afternoon concert, we've been talking about all the events that we are partnering with because we got this grant from WNET and the National Endowment for the Humanities through Shakespeare Uncovered. And it's such a neat thing that we're going to be putting on the event on January 31st, Rebecca.
Yes, Davis Concert Hall, January 31st. There's a preview screening of the Midsummer Night's Dream episode of Shakespeare Uncovered, and followed by a panel discussion and some scenes from your local production of A Midsummer Night's Dream from Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater. And this is our Gwich'in-inspired production, so that's including some Alaska Native language, and it's just going to be a great event. You can see kind of the beginning of our process. We're just starting rehearsals. Most of the script that is being translated has been translated, so you'll get to see a part of that process. Alan, who is playing Oberon and doing the translations, will share kind of how he's been working on that. And this is a process that we are repeating from a production we did in 2013 of Lear Hekwai. So that's how that all started, and we're continuing with this Midsummer production. So you can come see this episode of Shakespeare Uncovered before it airs on TV.
Right.
Be the first one, and then get a chat with your local Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater Company.
We can come ask questions there at that, too.
Absolutely.
So neat.
And if I can, people who didn't get to see the Lear production may wonder how, if they don't speak Gwich'in, how they could understand or comprehend those parts. So I'm fairly certain there'll be the super titles again.
We'll have that for our school performances and the public performance. They'll be the portions that are performed in Gwich'in. You'll see the English, much like they do in the operas.
Yeah.
You'll see the English on the screens. But it's funny. It's not really necessary. Like, once you get into
just like in opera,
yes,
it is not necessary.
Yes.
Yeah.
The story transcends the different languages. And when we were working on the Lear project, it was just so beautiful to hear the Gwich'in and Shakespeare's language together, and how well they coupled, and what a great marriage that was. And we're hoping for the same thing with Midsummer's.
Yeah. Because we've been talking a lot during this Shakespearean afternoon concert about how it comes alive when you see it on stage. And even if you don't catch all the words to the play or the opera, or, you know, if this part of it's going to be in Gwich'in, you don't have to, because the feel is there and you can follow along because of the actors are so good, you know?
Yeah, that's how theater works.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the designers all come to get some costumes, you get some props, you get a director who's sort of telling, you know, an outside eye to tell the story, you get the actors interpreting the words of the playwright who all wrote it down. And so all of that, and none of that really works until the audience is there. You know, that's the sort of missing piece for making theater. So all of the artists come together to make half of the story. And then the audience is really the other half. And so that energy of when you're watching and the interrelation between the two is where theater really lives, more than movies or television, which are all very valid and entertaining forms. But it's the combination of the live performance from the actors and the artists that have designed that moment, and the audience member that's experiencing that moment, that is the magic.
All together in one space.
Mm-hmm. And that did not really come alive for me in high school when we read Shakespeare out loud in class.
No.
That's why, yeah, you have to see it.
It just doesn't.
You have to see it or read it aloud. You know, our Bardathon event is a great time for students to discover that it just makes so much more sense when you speak it or when you hear it.
And I think that helps, that you have the facilitator there that is very familiar with Shakespeare. As, you know, an English teacher in high school may be pretty familiar with it, but it helps when you have people who want to come there first and do it, and then to have the facility.
And I think another thing with the school readings, when learning it in high school or whatever level you're trying to learn it is, you know, you have all these other classes that are going on during the day. So you've got 50 minutes to sit down with the text, and then maybe 10 minutes of that is taken out with other business. So you get 40 minutes of trying to sit down and concentrate and pick up the story. And it's kind of – it can be very difficult to get the language sort of rolling again. That's one of the great things about the Bardathon. Is that the play starts out, you know, people, if they're familiar with Shakespeare or not, they just want to see what this weird thing is, they come and they show up. But after about 35, 40 minutes, the rhythm of the words just becomes very natural. And if you've never read Shakespeare out loud before, you find how it connects with the vocabulary that you've got. And it's really, it's by the time you get to the end of Bardathon readings, they just are moving along like lightning, sound effects, people having a great time. So it really is, if you think that reading, sitting in a room with a bunch of people reading Shakespeare sounds boring, let me tell you, it is some of the most exciting times I've had in my life.
And that goes on February 14th through the 22nd here in downtown Fairbanks. And it's at the Old Empress Theater, which is the home of the City and Mushing Museum here in town.
Yes. And what's great about these two events happening at the same time, the Shakespeare Uncovered series and our Bardathon, is you can get so much information about the play either by reading it first with us and then seeing the series, or sometimes the way our schedule's laid out, which is on our website, you can see the series first and learn all about the play through the Shakespeare Uncovered series and then come read it. Be a part of it. Be a participant.
Because they have an hour for each Shakespeare Uncovered, and there's a lot of stuff to uncover. So you won't hear much Shakespeare compared to a lot of people analyzing and talking about it. You'll hear some choice moments. But, you know, some of the funniest jokes are sort of obscure, buried in the end of Act 4 jokes. And it's just so – it's great. Bardathon is fantastic.
And you can find links to all these things on our website, kuac.org, including a link to Bardathon and our – big event going on January 31st at Davis Concert Hall at 4 with the premiere early screening of the Shakespeare Uncovered Season 2. And we've got some music queued up played by Itzhak Perlman. It's William Walton, Touch of Her Soft Lips and Part. And I know you know what that's from. One of you does.
I would assume maybe Romeo and Juliet.
Henry V.
Ding, ding, ding. Oh, Rebecca wins this one.
Oh, wow. I didn't know there was prizes.
Just fame and fortune. No fortune, just fame.
Forget it. That's... Thank you.
Shakespearean inspired afternoon concert, listening to the inspired by Henry V, Touch Her Soft Lips and Part from William Walton.
Like, which part of the story is that? I'm sorry, go ahead, Laurie.
Andrew Castle and Rebecca George are here, and so listeners know who is with us today.
Well, it was a nice love story in Henry V. I guess that can sort of, you know, between the Princess of France and Henry.
Yeah, that's
so there's
very
sort of, there's,
beautiful
that's
music.
Sort of, I'm like, where does that
kind
romance fit into
that
the.
It came from Henry V.
But that's all right. Shakespeare, well, look at this, what we just uncovered. Sorry.
Music. Music is oftentimes part of the Shakespeare plays, too. I know when I've seen plays on the stage here in the summer or in the winter, there's always been musicians doing something, whether playing throughout the whole thing or parts of it.
It's an essential part. I think it's just part of, you know, Shakespeare really tried to incorporate all the things that were in his world that he saw all the time, government, religion, you know, class struggle, and music and art, of course, is in there. And musicians are, they're usually treated pretty reverently in the plays. There's not really any musicians that are made fun of. There's a whole little musician scene in Romeo and Juliet where they're just trying to, you know, make some money and play some music for the house. You know, and so musicians are already, they're just sort of part of the universe of Shakespeare. And he brings that onto the stage for people. It's just amazing. It's that's one of the difficult things also is like if Shakespeare has a piece of music and lyrics in the play, and it's like, how do you match the music to that? Where do you find the music for that? Where is the definitive performance of Hey Nonny Nonny, if you wanted to do something like that? So it's,
so does anybody, has anybody uncovered scores from original Shakespeare plays?
Yes, there are. Okay. There are scholars, probably one or two listening right now, who have spent their whole lives digging in and finding that Elizabethan folk music that is from, you know, Shakespeare, where he grew up, and that sort of piece of music that fits into the play. So there are people studying that very thing. Yeah. But at the same time, there was an example in when we did The Winter's Tale, Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater, 10, 12, however many years ago that was. At the beginning of the second half, there's a time comes in and speaks. And so Graham Watts, who has directed several times for Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater, wanted to sort of have it be a rap. And so he had a
yes.
performer come in there to rap Shakespeare's blank verse, which works out great. So there's ways to take the what is music and then to adapt it to be the music that the audience is enjoying at that time. What was also interesting for that Winter's Tale production was it was set in sort of a gold rush era Alaska. And so to have time come in and rap, which was very different from the rest of the feeling, because he had bluegrass music playing the whole time. It was a great, great production. It really showed, okay, now we're in the future, we're watching this story in the past. So being able to use music as part of telling Shakespeare's stories is just one of the joys of creating Shakespeare play.
And it's a great opportunity for us to include local musicians and artists, which we have done over the last 23 years. We've had such great collaborations with groups in town and musicians and people writing music for us for the production, creating pieces using Shakespeare's words, you know, the songs that are in the text, but making their own music and making it a part of our play and a part of the world that we're creating. And so we've had just countless collaborations with local artists that have resulted in just beautiful music for the shows.
Do you have any lute players here in Fairbanks?
Ooh, well, not that I know of lately.
Well, hello, lute players that are listening right now.
Contact
you may be needed.
There's a famous song in Two Gentlemen of Verona, the show I'm fortunate enough to direct for Shakespeare Theater this summer, Where's Sylvia? And so it's a very, very famous song. And so I'm trying to think of ways to sort of approach that. I might steal Graham's rap thing. I'm also thinking of having like a DJ out there, maybe having some crazy beats. I don't know. But it's like, because it's as a creative person that gets to work with this, I get to decide. I get to decide how it's going to be interpreted. And so it's really, really exciting.
And with the Gwich'in Midsummer Night's Dream, some of these are sung in Gwich'in?
Yes, there are several songs in Midsummer Night's Dream, and a few, at least one for sure, I know, is translated into Gwich'in and will be sung. It's, you know, based on a traditional Gwich'in song. We also used in Lear, we used some hymns that were sung in Gwich'in, and Yeah, that's really fun to hear that music incorporated.
You can tune in Wednesday night here to KUAC's Alaska Live, Wednesday night at 10, and hear some of the excerpts from that. And we'll be featuring some of the scenes, excerpts of scenes, and some of the excerpts of music performed live here at the studio during Alaska Live this Wednesday night at 10.
Yes. Mm. As part of our collaboration with the Shakespeare Uncovered series.
Yes. Really wonderful. Up next, Romeo and Juliet, music from both Prokofiev and Tchaikovsky.
You're going to play both at the same time? That'll be exciting.
We can, yes, absolutely. We can follow up.
We've Laurie got is shaking her head. Audience
Tchaikovsky
members, like,
first, and Prokofiev will be second. And I got the track of Tchaikovsky's one from Mad About the Movies. And before we got started on today's afternoon concert, I asked my guest hosts here, you know, what movie was the Romeo and Juliet theme from? And I gave you choices of Father of the Bride.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
The Prince of Tides, Wayne's World, okay, and Lorenzo's Oil. Mm. So we'll come back with the answer after we play it.
Okay.
Okay, your choices for what movie used that, you know, like in the 90s, I guess it probably was. Father of the Bride, The Prince of Tides, Wayne's World, or Lorenzo's Oil. And so of those movies, what used Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet love theme?
Oh, I knew it was Wayne's World. I mean, there's no – if you put Wayne's World with all those other movies, I think it's the one that doesn't have Barbra Streisand. No, I mean, but also not. I mean, you hear that particular piece you hear, yes, all the time, like in cartoons and all this stuff.
Well, and in Wayne's World,
when love is happening.
We figured that Wayne and Garth were slow mo
running. Maybe it was with, I don't know, but yeah, it means love.
It does.
Even though Romeo and Juliet, I don't know. I would argue how it is a play about how love is not love.
Well, that
that's
is,
a different thing. I guess we'll explore that on Shakespeare Uncovered.
That is right.
The 19th of February with Joseph Fine.
That's right, because they in this season, they uncover the history and all kinds of things behind Romeo and Juliet. Juliet. And you said February 19th is when that is at.
With a dreamy Joseph Fine.
Yes.
Yay.
Didn't he play Shakespeare in Shakespeare in Love?
Yes.
Opposite Gwyneth Paltrow?
Absolutely.
Which is also about Romeo and Juliet?
In the 90s.
Hmm.
And I think they used the Prokofiev one, didn't they? Let's see. Let's see if we recognize the Prokofiev one from Romeo and Juliet. From That was in the 90s when the one you're talking about, the movie?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Won a Best Picture Oscar.
Let's check it out. Really tender music, like you know, young love between Romeo and Juliet from Prokofiev, and of the day of the Shakespeare performances of the day in the late 1800s, early 1900s, Prokofiev would have been asked to write music for this Shakespeare play.
At that time, it was amazing. Shakespeare's plays between 1700 and the 20th century were so. They weren't performed how we were today. Like, we sort of take the script that's in the canon and we like, this is what we stage. But back then, directors, playwrights, they just did whatever they wanted with the source material. Added a bunch of stuff, added characters, changed how the endings were. Like, they didn't like at the end of King Lear that everyone was dead. So just change it, you know, bring Cordelia back to life. It's all fine. So there was a lot of just sort
as
of.
As a spirit or.
No,
just,
as a person, you know, just sort of change the end. You know, you don't like how it is. You don't like the characters or how they're behaving. You just change it. And so that was a really, really. It was. That was done all the time with Shakespeare performances. All throughout the 18th centuries and the 19th centuries, it did that. And so it was not for the past about 150 years, was it like, this is the script that you use. And so at the time, anything goes and still does. I mean, it's public domain. You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at ways actually this summer to sort of mix and move some scenes around. And to, you know, as you cut it down, it's like, how can I move it to help it flow better? Because I love sitting outside for 3.5 hours watching people do Shakespeare. But I know that not everybody does. You know, they want to spend a couple hours. You want to get a good show. You want to hear a good story. You want to see a bit with a dog. You want to see some people kiss. And then you want to go home. You know, I understand that. And that's the sort of show that I want to make, an action-packed comedy with some, you know, heart-warming stuff and a dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going for this summer. But, nice. Yeah, so it's just all during that time, all for the hundreds of years, it's amazing the evolution of performing Shakespeare in the West and the East and all over the world.
And in this case, for Midsummer Night's Dream, that you're touring the schools and doing a public performance in early March, you've done the Gwich'in translation, and so, but still staying true to the story and plot lines.
Yes, it is a cut down version, so things have been cut to make it a shorter time period for the schools to fit in their school periods. And then part of the script has been translated by Alan Hayton and Marilyn Savage into Gwich'in and will be spoken by Alan and a few of the other actors. Yes, so there's changes, but we didn't change the script or the story. It's still the story that you know of and that you will learn of in the Shakespeare
Uncovered
series.
If I could praise Tom Robinault for a moment, who is directing The Midsummer. I've worked with him several times. He's a dear and lovely man. He directed me in Comedy of Errors, and then about a year later, he cut the script of Comedy of Errors down to make it an hour-long show for the summer production for the younger performers.
For the drama
and
camp.
It was amazing. When I watched that hour-long performance, I was like, what were we doing for that other 90 minutes? Because he finds ways, and it's Tom's work, that he finds the ways to get the important story parts and the important character parts and to not leave the important part of the stories out. Nice. Not that the rest of the things aren't important, but it adds flavor to the other parts, but he just gets like, this is the meat. This is what you need to walk out and know that you've seen a show. So
he'll be here for Alaska Live on Wednesday
night.
That's
great. I'm so glad you get a chance to talk to him during this series of work that you're doing, because he is just great. And I just love working with him. So I'm really excited to see the work that he does on this project.
Yeah. And that Comedy Errors you were talking about that was reduced down to an hour, we do that for all of our drama camps. We reduce
the Groundlings.
Yeah, the Groundlings in the summer. We have Fledglings and Groundlings, ages 8 to 18, and we do a full production play. It's shortened, so it's usually an hour long, but there's no modern language added or changed. It's Shakespeare's language, and the kids are amazing. I mean, some of the actors we have that have been coming to Groundlings for year after year are just incredible. So if you have any interest in that, if you have kids interested in that, we have a spring break drama camp coming up in March. And one of our guest artists who's performing in the Midsummer tour, she's teaching. She taught last summer. And her bio's on our website. She's an amazing teacher. So it's a week-long drama camp here at the U, 8 to 18, for spring break. And then we have two camps in the summer. For kids as well.
And the young performers who are in those shows, they sort of do it year. It becomes a really fun club for those people. And they go on to perform in the summer shows. And so it's nice to see the camaraderie.
Yeah, I've seen some teenagers in your shows that are the big events, and they've spent years with the summer camp and spring break camps and stuff.
That's right.
Yeah,
you gotta pay your dues.
Yeah,
then you get on the big stage
to see the evolution of an actor.
There's great education pieces on the Shakespeare Uncovered website too, for teachers and anybody who's interested in making Shakespeare come alive in a classroom.
They make it so accessible and just so fun. And yeah, it's a great resource. That website and this series and our company and what we do, we're all incredible resources to learn more about Shakespeare and understand why he's still such a big deal to everyone today, and why you can hear a Shakespeare reference every day of your life if you pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. What Shakespeare reference did you hear earlier today, Andrew?
I just living in this room for the past couple hours. I've heard all I need for today. I don't think I heard one before I came here, but others
might
been full of it.
You can even, reduce it down to a bumper sticker, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. Now I'm trying to think Shakespeare is such an important part of my life that sort of every, I'm a walking Shakespeare reference. So it's really,
up next,
I'll keep an eye out for what happens later in the day.
Up next for music, three Shakespeare songs. I read the lyrics earlier and I had no idea that these songs were from Shakespeare plays. So let's hear these, and you're going to recognize some of this stuff, especially from the third one, I think. So this is Ralph Vaughan Williams with three Shakespeare songs.
Thank you.
Over Hill and Over Dale, that is such an, it's like a nursery rhyme, Over Hill and Over Dale.
Shakespeare likes the rhymes.
Uh-huh. And then we put them into nursery rhymes and such. But that is actually from A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah, that's a fairy speech.
Fairy speaks. Over Hill, Over Dale, Over Through Brush, through, I don't know, Through Brush, Through Brush, I don't remember. I was never that part. I didn't have to learn those lines.
Over park, over pale, through flood, through fire. Oof.
Wow. But you would go a long way for someone that you cared about like that.
I guess so.
Over pale.
Yes.
It's like a bucket?
No, pale as in the pale moon.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I like your interpretation, Laurie.
You are listening to Afternoon Concert, a very Shakespearean afternoon concert on KUAC. I'm your host, Laurie Neufeld, and here at the KUAC studios, it's Rebecca George and Andrew Castle have joined me because KUAC and Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater have partnered through a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities and Shakespeare Uncovered for a series of events here in Fairbanks. And one of those events is this afternoon concert, and then Wednesday, Alaska Live at 10. And on Saturday, January 31st at 4 o'clock, it's a public event at Davis Concert Hall with Shakespeare Uncovered, A Midsummer Night's Dream, the premiere of Season 2 of Shakespeare Uncovered, and part of your, Rebecca George, your Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream production.
Yes, we'll have the director and cast there and discussing our production and how we're going about it. This is our educational tour production of A Midsummer Night's Dream that we're taking all across Alaska to schools. We're doing public performances as well across the state and here in Fairbanks. But the main event is to take this into schools, and that's part of a grant we got through the NEA, Shakespeare and American Communities Grant,
wow,
which is our fourth time receiving that grant. We're thrilled.
Congratulations.
Thank you to do that. And it allows us to take Shakespeare into the schools.
And we are so thrilled that we have this grant that allowed us to partner for all these events also, that will be dropping in on Bardathon in mid-February. Weekdays, February 16th through the 20th, we'll be dropping in live to hear some readings. I don't know how long we'll be able to stay on that stream, but we'll for sure be dropping in on that. And the Metropolitan Opera's Macbeth, we get some commentary during that on February 8th, starting at noon, as part of our opera broadcast, because what's more Shakespearean than that?
If I could, and I apologize in advance, but it's something that Tom was very passionate about when we were working on Macbeth, that the show is not Macbeth. The
okay.
show is Macbeth. And so it's just a lot of Americans,
yes,
sort of elide the Mac and sort of make it Macbeth. But to stay true to the
Scottish.
Shakespearean and the Scottish afternoon concert, it's a great chance for me to sort of up and say to all the people listening, never ever say Macbeth again. The name of the character and the name of the revered Shakespeare play is Macbeth. So
and
enjoy
isn't there
it.
Some sort Macbeth. Of some sort of mythology behind even saying any sort of
in a theater.
In a theater.
Okay.
We're saying
not
Macbeth
in a theater.
Here as much as we want.
Okay.
But if in the theater, yes, there's a whole
Macbeth,
sorts
Macbeth,
of.
Macbeth, Macbeth.
Now,
okay,
don't push the luck there.
Okay.
Whoa, that's really pushing the button.
Bruce Rogers would argue that if you know a witch, it's okay.
Great.
But yes, there is. I mean, and if you want to spend some time Googling and finding out the curse of Macbeth and why it is, it's you know, there's some, you could build a conspiracy in your mind about that. But yeah, if you go into a theater and you want to upset a passionate theater person, start saying Macbeth around there and see how they react. Thanks for letting me go off on the Macbeth tangent.
And then watch out.
We needed that.
Sure. Light doesn't fall on your head.
Yes, exactly.
We uncovered that one.
Nice. Bam.
Perfect. And if you can't join us for the early screening of the Midsummer Night's Dream, Shakespeare Uncovered, you can always catch the whole series, Season 2, on KUAC Television, Thursday nights starting February 5th at 9 o'clock.
And I love how they're doing the two back-to-back, because 1 hour of Shakespeare is just not enough. I mean, I'm not being facetious you know, it's, I love learning about Shakespeare and hearing new things about Shakespeare. And after the first episode, I'm like, oh, if only there was more, but wait, there is. So that's great.
And if you didn't catch up on Season 1, you can watch all the episodes at the pbs.org website.
Log in for HD.
And if you need to catch up on Downton Abbey also, you can watch those there.
Thanks, Larry.
Well, people want to know if they missed last Sunday's episode that they can catch up.
They sure can. When does Doctor Who start again? That's what I...
I'm not up to date on that information, okay. Well, but I'll let
you
know.
I'm sure it's on the website. Sorry, I got way off track there.
Doctor Who, it's popular.
He visited
also.
Shakespeare. There's a whole Shakespeare episode with Doctor Who, and they go and they see Shakespeare and they meet, they interact, and Love's Labour's One, the lost play. We get an explanation of how it got lost, and so, you know, there's
nothing goes untouched by Shakespeare, it seems as though.
Very true. Very true. Even the Doctor. Sorry.
next up, we get to listen to Placido Domingo playing the role of Othello.
Wonderful.
Awesome. That was... Go ahead.
Yeah, no. So we'll talk about when FST has done some of this, and we'll come back to what you're saying.
I'll save my anecdote for the return.
Okay, no problem.
Let's listen to this tenor. Thank you.
It's Italian this time because it's Verdi that put that together. And so it was translated from the English into Italian. And I'm sure that sounds very lyrical also in Italian.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
It was working with FST and the opera Fairbanks a couple of years ago with Verdi and the Bard that I really sort of understood how Shakespearean opera works. I knew that it existed. My parents are big opera fans. They go see operas all the time. They talk about the Shakespearean ones. But I was like, oh, how does that work together in storytelling on stage? But it was amazing how the grand nature of a Shakespearean play lends itself to the same sort of grand emotions that go into the opera. And it was a great chance, another great pairing between Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater and other things in the community that really opened my eyes to some of that beauty. So thanks again.
That is one of the things that I think Fairbanks does very well is the different arts and culture organizations partner to put on some amazing shows and just for the community to grasp, like you say, the combination of opera and Shakespeare and the combination of, in this case, Midsummer Night's Dream, we get to hear from Hugh Bonneville, who we might know from Downton Abbey, talk about his start in Midsummer Night's Dream. And then we get to hear from our local production that's the Gwich'in Translation, which I am just fascinated to be able to hear that live on Wednesday night during Alaska Live.
Yes, and also at the public event, you'll get a chance to hear that on January 31st, 4 to 6 at Davis Concert Hall, free for anybody. Come check it out.
And are you touring some schools here in Fairbanks also?
We're having school performances at Pioneer Park. So the schools in Fairbanks will be coming to us, and then we'll be going out to schools out in Nenana and Healy and Tok and Chickaloon, Glen Allen. We're going up to Fort Yukon and Barrow.
That is really wonderful. You're not only traveling the highway system, you're flying out to a couple of rural villages.
Yes, and that was such a treat when we took Lear out to Arctic Village in Fort Yukon in 2013.
Which was also a Gwich'in Translation part of it.
Yes, and to see the, you know, the influence and to watch Gwich'in speakers get to see their language performed on stage alongside Shakespeare at the same time. It was just such a great experience.
Well, what a validation for language revitalization to say this is one of the most important writers in the English canon. And let's take those words and ideas and translate them into these Alaska Native languages and keep the meaning, keep the intention, and say that it can be raised up to that level of, you know.
Well, and just the exposure of getting to hear it and getting to hear someone like Alan, who is a brilliant actor and a beautiful speaker of Gwich'in, and to hear that language acted by that performer is such a treat. It's going to be great. So if you have a chance, please come out.
Yeah. And did you say the public performances of that any of us can get information and tickets to is in March?
Yes, that'll be in March. And that information will be on our website, fstalaska.org.
And we have links to all of these events and more information about these events and the grant that we received from the National Endowment for the Humanities at our website, kuac.org. And we link to Bardathon and to the Midsummer Night's Dream tour also there. So
it's a full slate of stuff going on for the
next
couple
months.
It really is.
It's a bright spot in a bit of a long winter.
A long, warm winter. Let's not bemoan our fate
too much
here in Alaska. I know it's going to get cold this weekend, but, you know, that's all right.
I know. I think we're packing a lot of winter into one week here. We've got a bunch of snow and then cold.
20 below, and it'll be all right. It'll be all right. It hasn't been a bad winter so far.
It has not at all. And things like these, I mentioned earlier that I think that Bardathon during the winter, it really is a bright spot for the community to be able to it goes on 24 hours a day. So if you want to start reading at 5 o'clock in the morning, that is something
and
you can do.
Not stop for a week, you can. Yes. And in fact, I've worked with Shakespeare Theater now for 15 years, but Bardathon was the first thing that I ever did with the Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater. And I heard that it was going on, and I was very curious, and I grabbed my old Shakespeare textbook from when I had studied with Dr. Lowell here at UAF and showed up, and they were the people who are running was like, come on in, sit right down here, join us right on. And that's, I mean, if I can take a moment to talk about the Bardathon, it is just such a welcoming environment. If you don't know Shakespeare, if you think, oh, I can't say those words, I don't know what it means. You know, you come into the Bardathon, it's not about pronunciation. It's not about meaning. It's not about acting. It's about hearing these words and getting this, your vibe going for what Shakespeare is like. And it's a community feeling more than a theatrical feeling. And
but if you want to pronounce it right, you can always ask the facilitator.
So many people. It's like, hey, what does this word mean? What's going on? Why are these characters saying anything? So it really can go from just sort of coming in and letting the words wash over you, or really digging in and be like, I had questions about this show that weren't answered on Shakespeare Uncovered, so I'm coming here to the Bardathon to find out what some of these things are. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience, the Bardathon. I just love it. I'm looking at my time hop over the past couple of days, which is an app which sort of shows you what you've posted on social media in years past. And it's just Bardathon for the past couple of years saying, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I can't wait for the next reading. I'm going to read this now. Come over and read this. So it's great to have it here again. And I just love the Bardathon.
And it starts on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
We're going to kick it off with a champagne brunch and a reading of Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes all the way 24 hours a day until you read the very last play that you're reading on February 22nd.
21st.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm just reading what we had on our
website. No, I think that's all right.
We're always changing things. We're a nimble organization.
Yes.
And we've decided to cut it down to the 21st.
Great.
We're still doing all of the plays. We've just kind of put the sonnets and the poetry together for a couple time slots.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason we're doing that is because our tour starts on the 23rd. The midsummer tour starts on the 23rd. So we thought we need one day of rest. So this
year, really February is the month of Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater.
Yes. So much going on.
Yeah.
Please, if you visit our website, see what we're doing. Come join us. Be a part of what we're doing. Join Bardathon. Come see the public event that we're partnering with KUAC on January 31st. Just so much going on here for people to take part in.
I want to thank you guys so much for coming in and being a part of the Shakespeare Afternoon Concert.
Thanks
this
for
has
having
been
us.
A great time. Rebecca George, wonderful to we'll be talking a lot about the program on Wednesday night, and then we'll see you at the public event on the 31st.
Yes.
Great. Andrew, we look forward to the summer to Gentlemen of Verona.
Thanks. It's always great to be able to talk about Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater, which is just something that is near and dear to my heart. So thank you for the chance for me coming in and talk about something that I love.
And we thank WNET and the National Endowment for the Humanities.
The Shakespeare Uncovered series is so brilliant. If I can just rave about that for just a moment. I mean, I was on Netflix for a while, and I've seen it online, and it's just incredible way to explore not just the text of Shakespeare, not just the time of Shakespeare, but how actors approach Shakespeare. And I mentioned the David Tennant one before, but watching David Tennant interact with other actors who have played Hamlet and seeing the actors talk about it being their actory stuff, it's just great. So thank you to the people who make that show. Thanks for helping keep Shakespeare in the cultural mind of Americans.
And it's a lot of these things. Previews are online at pbs.org and just find Shakespeare Uncovered there. And, man, it is a really fun series, I have to say.
Yeah.
After I watched one episode, I wanted to watch another, but just got too late last night.
Yeah. That's all right. It's recorded media. You're good to go. It's not a live theater show. You don't have to sit there. Thanks, Laurie.
Thank you so much. We're going to go out with some music from Midsummer Night's Dream, but just like we were talking about, it's the Mendelssohn incidental music. So back in the day, he just was asked to write some music for this Shakespeare play that was going on and would have been performed in the park or in a theater. We don't know.
I think it was an outside type deal.
Yep. Or open air theater. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Not for a movie.
No.
It's not for a movie.
Not for a movie, but there's plenty of music that is for the Shakespeare inspired movies also.
Yes.
But in this case, it's for Midsummer Night's Dream from Mendelssohn, and it's the finale. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laurie.